Numbers chapter 22. We began this message last week, and we entitled it this: Why Are You Mad at the Donkey? Now, since I'm among family, I read a rather lengthy portion of scripture last week, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've never said the word ASS that many times in my life. And so I'm not going to read it again because I don't enjoy that. It's in the Bible. I didn't do anything wrong. But I'm just going to let you read it yourself, okay? Because I don't like how it sounds coming out my mouth. And that's what a world who's taken something that wasn't meant to be and messed it up does for us. So I don't want you to think I'm messing with the King James Bible. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm reading out of Numbers 22, but I'm not reading it, okay? Because it's right there, and I'm preaching on the donkey. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word that I did last week and the preaching from it this week. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm just keeping it real. Truth of the matter is, some of you don't have no problem with it. But I ain't going there. Amen. Why are you mad at the donkey? Balaam, this prophet who had been known to get a word from the Lord, was summoned by the enemies of God to curse the people of God. They wanted him to come somewhere he didn't belong. He ended up heading somewhere where he didn't belong. And the sad part about it was the donkey had more discernment than he did. The donkey didn't want to move forward. The donkey didn't want to go. And God enabled an animal to speak to a prophet. And what the animal said to the prophet was exactly what the prophet needed to hear. But because he wasn't right with God, he got mad with the donkey. We established last week that in context of Numbers 22, the donkey represents anybody in your life telling you the truth. Could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a parent, could be a friend, could be a pastor or somebody else. As a matter of fact, the donkey not only represented somebody saying the truth, but he represented someone or an animal that had been good to Balaam. That animal had taken Balaam places for a long time. That animal had never given Balaam problems. As a matter of fact, when the animal did what Balaam wanted the animal to do, Balaam was happy with the animal. But when the animal did what God wanted the animal to do, Balaam was mad with the animal. Is there anybody in your life that's been good to you? Anybody in your life that's been faithful to you? Anybody in your life that's been there when nobody else was? Stood by you when nobody else did? Stood with you when nobody else would? And when they were in your favor and telling you something you wanted to hear, they were your hero. But now that they're doing something that you don't want them to do and they're saying something you don't want to hear, they've gone from hero to zero. You're mad with the donkey. You're mad because your spouse told you the truth about yourself. You're mad because the pastor preached the word of God and it invaded your agenda. You're mad because a friend said that's a bad relationship with you, for you, and you didn't want to hear it. So instead of dumping the bum, you got mad at the friend. Somebody help me preach. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to serve God for any length of time, if you're going to honor God the way God wants you to honor him, if you're going to engage in New Testament Christianity in a postmodern culture, if you're going to go through the fire and have Jesus walk with you, you better be ready to get some counsel from some people that really love you. And by the way, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's hard to look somebody that you love in the face and tell them that they're wrong, that they're going the wrong direction, that they're messing up their lives. But if you really love them, you'll tell them the truth. The question is, how are you going to take it? Why did Lord, have mercy. Jeremiah, why did Balaam get mad with the donkey when the donkey was telling him the truth? Well, it began with a bad proposition. Jeremiah was asked to do something that was no good. And after the bad proposition, Balaam started pondering something that God said no to. God gave Balaam a biblical prohibition. And by the way, this Bible is full of principles and precepts that run counter to the way of the world. Somebody help me preach. I broke another button, but I ain't going up in my neck size, because this is the right size. It had nothing to do with my neck. It has something to do with how hard I'm preaching. You ain't preaching hard enough if you don't break a button. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, break that button off my shirt. Listen to me and hear me well. There is too much of Christianity that is trying to align itself with the world instead of aligning itself with the Word. Come on now. I said to my Sunday school class this morning, there are too many Christians that have bought into worldly ideology. They have bought in to worldly teaching. Listen to me. I know that America is pursuing some things that are no good. I know that there are some things that used to be really wild bad that have now become popular. But as children of God, we must not move as the world moves. We must not shift as society shifts. We must not acquiesce to the errors of culture. I'm not going to preach long on this, but we need Christians who still believe that marriage is between a man and a woman and not a man and a man. We need Christians who still believe that adultery outside of marriage is wrong. Amen. We need Christians who still believe to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't care what the world is doing, and they can make a gazillion sitcoms that popularize it. I'll still stand with the book. Amen. No, 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 Balaam, no. And he turns to them and says, God says no, and they go, and yet they come back with bribes, bribing persistence. A bad proposition, a biblical prohibition. So then here we come with bribing persistence. What do you mean by persistence? Well, they just kept trying. You know, the devil, if he can't get you to say yes to him, he'll keep trying by offering you stuff. Somebody say amen. Yeah, he sent affluent people, and then the King Balak sent aspiring promotion, and then he offered abundant prosperity, and then he kept on going with aggressive persuasion. And with all of these thrills and frills before him, Balaam made the mistake of adverse pondering. He lodged them overnight to see what God would say, when in fact God had already said. Come on. Now, I'm trying to help you as a pastor. Don't ask God a question he already answered. Okay? Don't ask for a yes when he already said no. Don't ask for a no when he already said, come on now. Because here's the scary thing. The scary thing is, if you go back and keep pushing God to agree with you, he'll go from their bribing persistence and give you, if you would, his own begrudging permission. Now, what do you mean begrudging? God told Balaam he could do something that he really didn't want Balaam to do. We've all done it as parents. No. But that is, no. But gone. Huh? Now, this is what God is saying to Balaam. Gone. Go. You listen, you ain't going to take no, so gone. Listen, you've already made up your mind. In the book of Exodus, the Bible reads this way, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you really study scripture, God hardened Pharaoh's heart after Pharaoh already hardened his own heart. Listen to me now. Here's what God was saying. You ain't gonna listen to me anyway. So go on. Do what you want to do. Come on. Listen. I already answered you. You didn't pay me any mind. So go on. Do what you want to do. Listen to me. It's a bad situation as a child of God when God lets you go on and do what you want to do because you refuse to do what he told you to do. This is begrudging permission. And I told you last week, this is right in front of our eyes on the pages of scripture, the stark distinction between the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. God will let you do something that he doesn't want you to do. Begrudgingly. He provides permission. Now we pick up at the next point for our message today. Off Balaam goes. Off Balaam goes. And while going, he is smitten by what I call blinded perception. Now look at verse 22. The Bible says, God was angry. Does that bother you? Look up at me, would you, church? Does it bother you when God is angry? Here's how you know when you're out of the will of God. God's mad with you, and you're mad with the person trying to stop you. No. Here's the thing about anger. Our anger should always match where God's anger is directed. If God's angry with me, then I should be angry with me. Come on. Now, our reaction oftentimes to God's anger is to blame other people. Listen to me. When you get mad at a preacher preaching the Bible, you are admitting that you're mad with God. Blinded perception. Look at verse number 23. The donkey saw the angel. The donkey saw the sword. The donkey turned aside. The donkey went into the field, but not Balaam. Here is the sign in your life when you're mad with the donkey. Instead of yourself, spiritual incompetence. The lack of ability to make spiritual decisions is a result of blindedness. Now hear me now. When you are walking in a path contrary to the will of God, you will lack spiritual competence. I can't tell you how many people I know. They've been in church. They know the Bible. They've been taught the right thing. They've been surrounded by good people. And yet time and time again, they find themselves absolutely incapable of seeing right from wrong. Listen to me now. You can be a good Christian. You can be a Bible-believing Christian. You can be a long-tenured Christian, but in the middle of a fully engaged plan to go outside of the will of God, you will lose your good sense. Now, how is it that a prophet who had been linked with discovering and delivering the mind of God couldn't even see God? Spiritual incompetence. Selfish indignation. He smote the donkey, 23. Look again, verse 26. Balaam's mad. He hits the donkey, and the donkey's turning, trying to avoid it. Crush Balaam's foot against the wall, and Balaam's mad at the donkey. Indignation, selfish indignation. You know, there's something called righteous indignation. You know what righteous indignation is? Is when my soul is vexed like God's soul is vexed because people aren't doing the right thing. The Bible tells us that Lot was vexed. He was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw stuff that wasn't right, and it affected his spirit. God help us when the sin of the world doesn't affect our spirit. But selfishness produces an entirely different indignation. He's mad. Mad at that donkey. I told you to go this way. Why won't you listen? I told you to do this. Why won't you? He's hitting the donkey. Whew. You find yourself enraged with somebody? I'm preaching to you now. Paul asked a rhetorical question in the book of Galatians. Well, it's a great one. I love to use it quite often. My mom and I love this verse. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I therefore become your enemy? Look what Paul's saying. I'm writing to you, church, and you know, y'all know I love you. Y'all know I've been good to you. You know I wouldn't do anything. Listen. There was a time in your life, Galatians, when you knew that I was struggling with something. You were willing to pluck out your own eyes and give it to me. The implication was Paul was struggling with bad eyesight. He said, y'all love me so much, you were willing to give me your eyes. But now that you have gone the wrong direction, watch this now. He said, now you're mad with me, and you're mad with me because I'm telling you the truth. And by the way, this is what I'm thinking while I'm preaching. Paul also asked a question in the book of Galatians, and here's what he asked. And let me tell you what he didn't ask. He didn't ask them, what did hinder you from the truth? He asked them, who did hinder you from the truth? And I would like to say that when you turn your anger towards somebody good and away from somebody bad, you are indicting yourself that somebody bad has affected you in a bad way. Some of you used to love your mama and daddy before you hooked up with them sorry friends. You used to honor your husband before you quit talking to all your girlfriends. You used to treat your wife like a queen before you quit running around with all them deadbeats that don't know how to treat their wife. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm trying to get all up in your business. And I'm trying to tell you, sometimes we are not just hindered by what's, we are hindered by who's. Here he is. I'd like to ask you, who you been running with lately? Who are your Facebook friends? Who are your weekend rendezvous partners? Who do you bounce things off of? Amen. I said, who do you bounce things off of? Listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I ain't asking a sick person how to be healthy. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask somebody that's well how to stay well. I'm not asking a depressed person how to have joy. I am not asking a Krispy Kreme employee how to lose weight. I'm asking somebody that's living it to help me live it. And I'm ashamed to say that many Christians find themselves opposing God, disobeying God, walking contrary to God, and the first person they counsel with is another person disobeying God. You can't get help to see from a blind man. Y'all both be in the ditch. Amen. Well, if you listen. If I were a rebellious kid, I'd find me one of these kids around Crossroads Baptist Church that looks like they love preaching, that look like they're not allergic to the altar, that looks like they got a good relationship with their parents, and I'd go sit by them and find them. What gives you joy? If I didn't love church, I wouldn't sit with somebody else that didn't love church. I'd sit with one of them loud singers during the congregational hymns and say, you got something I don't have. Can you tell me where you got it from? I'm not saying that anybody is Jesus, and I'm not saying anybody should be coronated and deified. I am saying he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. I didn't do everything right, but I learned a long time ago, if I was going to be a pastor, I needed to run with pastors. If I was going to love God, I needed to be around people that love God. If I wanted some joy, I wanted to be around somebody that had some joy. If I wanted to get on fire with God, I didn't want to run with the old complaining, disgruntled church member. They ain't going to help you. They're going to help you stay in misery because they want company. He couldn't see. And because he couldn't see God working, he got mad at the one animal that could. It's amazing how you get along with your authority when you're right with God. Spiritual incompetence, selfish indignation, supernatural illumination. Look at the verse. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. God did it. Amen. By the way, God can use anybody and anything to teach you. And the person he uses doesn't even have to be saved. It's amazing when who you least thought would be speaking truth is teaching you. Come on. And all of a sudden, God lets the, this wasn't a common practice. God opened the donkey's mouth. That must have been startling. You know the amazing thing about this story? This prophet was so bent towards doing his own thing, he didn't even say, "How are you talking?" I mean, shouldn't now in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent's talking to Eve. We draw the implication that animals talking to Adam and Eve wasn't rare then, because Eve didn't react. But right here, the Bible said, "God, look, where else you find?" The whale didn't talk to Jonah. The lions didn't talk to Daniel. Come on now. The fish didn't talk to Peter and James and John. Don't y'all catch me. No. This is a teaching moment in Balaam's life. And he blew it. He blew it. Here's what I looked at the story and I thought to myself. Even now he could have turned back. Even as he's already messed up, he's already failed God, he's already in the middle of making a terrible decision. But right then, he could have said, "You know what? You're right, man. You are right. You're a whole lot smarter than I am." Nope. You know what he did? He cemented his feet even deeper into a bad decision and got mad until verse 31, God opened his eyes. It's a scary thing when God turns the lights on when you're in a terrible predicament. Oh my goodness! Listen, God opened his eyes, and as soon as God opened his eyes, he saw the angel of the Lord standing in front of him. What he must have thought, oh my goodness, this donkey isn't being rebellious. I am being blocked by God himself. Do you remember any time in your life where God let you see he was blocking you? Oh, it was you? You've been the reason why he wouldn't go? Now listen to his response. Oh, the shameful indictment. Write this down. Shameful indictment. Wherefore hast thou smitten thine donkey three times? Behold, I went out, 32, to withstand thee. I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before. Listen, God said, "I'm blocking you because you're doing the wrong thing." Amen. And listen, and the ass saw me and turned these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Listen what Balaam is being told by Almighty God. If it were not for this donkey, you'd be dead. I wish some kids would realize their parents are not the enemy. They're saving their lives. I wish church members would realize the pastor's not the enemy. He's trying to save you. The truth of the matter is when you go astray, it is the prayers of godly people that keep God from killing you. Preach, pastor. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, the Christian battles formidable enemies in the Christian life. The world is anti-God and against God. The devil is the enemy of God who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, he's not a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork running around on a cartoon program. The devil is a murderer. He's a liar. He's been that way from the beginning. He's slick. He's sly. He's crafty. He's been around. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. And he's a hard enemy to fight. Amen. This world is anti-God. They hated God and they'll hate us. You live for God, you won't get along with the world. But I'm learning in the Christian life, as bad as the devil is, as bad as the world is, the biggest enemy I've got to battle every day is myself. And how merciful of God to reveal to us. See who you're mad at? If it weren't for him, if it weren't for her, if it weren't for it, you were done. done. I remember the principal telling me when I kept going to visit him, see how he was doing. All the rest of them selfish kids in the school had their minds on themselves. I thought this man has to run this school. Least I could do is check in with him every once in a while. Go in his office, make sure God been taking care of him. Been being good to him, been blessing him. Went to go visit him all the time. And we had some wonderful times. I got back, that's back then when you got you got discipline at school.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And I say it that way. Yes. I got discipline at school and beat at home. Sometimes I got beat for being disciplined. You know what they were teaching me? That you're not going to be a child who only has to obey me. But I will defend you when you disobey authority. Some of you got quiet. The last thing you want to do is tell your kids they got to listen to you, but defend them when they don't listen to other people. You got one of them, my kids didn't do it. Oh, not my children. And then you go to line. They don't ever do this at home. We've seen them do it in the parking lot.
Yes. Come on.
Don't be one of those parents.
Yes.
Foolishness is bound in the heart. Ain't nobody got angel children.
Yes, sir.
It's in all of our kids. And by God's grace, we'll do the best we can to get it out of them.
Yes, sir.
Beating ain't the only way, but it's one of them.
Yes, sir.
Now, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what worked for me. Amen. The board of education connected with the seat of understanding.
Yes.
The belt of education. And so I'd go check on the principal. And one of my complaints, mad at the donkey. Why are you always picking on me? All these other people in the school, they doing stuff. I talk to my kids all the time. When I talk to you, don't tell me about what someone else did. What did you do? Well, what Chloe did, what Susie did, what Carmen did. I'm talking to you.
Amen.
So I said, why always get in the principal's office? I'm always the one in here checking on you. He had a paddle called Big Red. It's a red paddle with holes in it to provide for the release. Amen. He and I shared we shared that instrument so much that years later I was out of high school, he gave it to me.
Wow.
Now that's I ain't preaching now, I'm telling the truth. Sure did. And my wife threw it away. Yeah, she threw it away. She, boy, what this big old thing? Yeah, we're going to go to jail. I got a belt. You know what he said to me? He said, I've learned over the years, the kids that keep getting caught are the children of praying parents. He said, the kids that get away with it, they don't get caught, and they're bad later when their parents can't do nothing about it. So I found out that back at the ranch, 8464 Cloverleaf Drive, McLean, Virginia, 22102, there were some parents that were praying every day. We ain't going to school with them, but Lord, if that boy act up, let somebody catch him so we can beat him. And I'm telling you, I stand here as a testimony to the grace of God. There's a whole lot of that junk. They beat out my trunk. And I'm glad for it. I said, I'm glad for it. By the way, that's not the only thing they did, but I'm glad they did it. It had me think twice about acting a fool. Listen, his spanking at the school didn't hurt that bad. It was three little licks, and then he said, you okay? Of course I'm okay. You know my mama? It's like an ice cream sundae. Compared to that, that's like... what'd you call it? Corporal punishment. The death penalty. But I knew that if I got in trouble there, I was going to get in trouble at home. Amen. Amen. You know what it taught me? That I don't just obey my parents, I obey authority.
Right.
Now listen to me. Everybody in this room has authority.
That's right. That's right.
Some of you, you're bad employers because you don't like your employee. But God put you there. I said, God put you there. I ain't going to do right because I don't like the way my husband's at. I ain't going to do right because I don't like my parents' rules. I ain't going to do right because I ain't going to sing hard because I don't like the song, the choir direct. Listen to me. God won't bless you if you don't submit to your authority. Don't get mad at the donkey. The donkey is saving your life. Let me hasten before I stretch this thing into 3 weeks. Somebody, look, people came up to me last week. I said, if you're not here next week, you are letting me know you're trying to avoid the message. I had three church members catch me up. Pastor, I have a planned trip that I'm going out of town for. I ain't lying. I'm gone next week, but I'm not gone because I'm avoiding the message. I'm gone because I have to be out of town. I said, excuse absence. Now, I'm not going to look at all these passages in depth. You read them when you get home. But God basically says to Balaam, go ahead. You're going anyway. But don't say anything unless I tell you to say it. Now here's the scary thing. It looks to us that, well, he got off okay. Right? He messed up. The donkey tried to stop him. He got mad at the donkey. God showed him that the donkey was seeing God. He says, sorry, I messed up. God says, okay, go ahead. Do what I say. It looks to us like he's gotten off the hook. At least he said sorry, but he still went. I know what you're thinking, but God told him to speak because God knew he was going. But he found himself, write this down, in a backwards predicament. A worldly environment. Exposed to wayward efforts. And a terrible case of a wasted effectiveness. There's a lot of verses that speak towards those points that I just gave you. And I don't have time to deal with it. But he got around Balak, and Balak did everything he could to get Balaam to curse God's people. Come on, man, do it. Come on, man, do it. And here's Balaam. No, man, I told you I can't do it. I told you I can't. But you know what he was doing? He was exposing himself to an environment that he didn't belong in. Listen to me now. Just because you are saying the right words doesn't excuse you from being in the wrong place. He didn't belong there. And we look at the Bible and go, what's the big deal? He never cursed them. He never did. Yeah, but he was associated with a crowd that looked badly upon his testimony. Follow me, please. I know Christian people who try to excuse hanging around the wrong people with, at least I invite them to church. Going to the wrong place. But at least while I'm there, I pass out tracts. Being around the wrong people, well, at least I'm trying to influence them right. There are some environments that the people of God don't belong in. And this is where Balaam was. He was in an environment where he did not belong. That environment was a worldly environment. That environment exposed him to wayward efforts over and over and over again. This king tried to bring him up and show him the city and offer him things and bribe him and give him more and more things. And by the way, the devil specializes in offering you stuff that doesn't even belong to him. And if you think you're off limits for the devil to mess with you, could I remind you? He tried it on the Son of God. And worst of all, wasted effectiveness. Watch this now. Here is a man who ended up in an environment that was anti-God. He ended up around people that were anti-God. He knew it before he went, and he went anyway. God told him not to go, and he was intent to go. God told him, if you go, only say what I said, and he obeyed God. But here's what he did. He wasted his effectiveness. He used a speaking engagement to do nothing for God when he could have been somewhere else doing something for God. The worst part about Christian people who jump into horrible environments claiming they're doing the work of God is they waste effect. I'm not saying we ought not to be salt and we ought not to be light, but there's a whole lot of Christianity that is attempted to being proselyted in areas where people have made it very clear they don't want God. I'd rather be somewhere telling somebody about Jesus who wants to hear it than just speaking to a wall who doesn't care. We need to spend more time being effective and less time going where we want to go and trying to make it better by saying spiritual things. Give not that which is holy to dogs. God help us. Sometimes you have to mark some people. I'm not talking about being cold. I'm not talking about being cocky. But I'm talking about, I'm not fooling with you, because you have already decided you ain't going to listen. Wasted effectiveness. I'm closing right here. I call this a bemoaned provision. What do you mean bemoaned? It's a regretted one. It's one that it is disdained way across the Bible in the New Testament on three different occasions. 2 Peter chapter 2, Jude 11, and Revelation chapter 2. Three times in the New Testament, Balaam is mentioned. Wow. I'll tell you what he did. He had a hidden agenda. He committed a horrible act. And he made a heinous effect. I don't have time to turn there, but look them up when you get time. 2 Peter 2, Jude 11, Revelation 2. Here's what the scripture tells us. The sin of Balaam, God speaks of it in Revelation chapter 2 of one of the churches, which means that Balaam is dead, but the sin of Balaam is still existing. Here's an amazing thing. In our passage, it looks as if Balaam came out good. He said, no, I'm not good. As a matter of fact, he even blessed Israel. But the New Testament reveals to us that outside the pages of Scripture that the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal to us, he didn't make it out right. The Bible teaches us that he took wages for wages. And here's what the Bible tells us. He explained to King Balak how Balak could convince the children of God to worship idols and to be engaged in immorality. It's not there in that story, but the New Testament reveals to us that after the service was over, Balaam and Balak had a private conversation. And here's what Balaam told a wicked king. You ain't gonna never beat them Israelites because God is for them. But here's how you can win. Get God against them. And here's how you can trick them into worshiping your idols. And the Bible tells us they ended up in whoredom, in prostitution with the Moabites and the Midianites. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament three times that the reason why Israel hooked up with the heathen is because Balaam gave them the hookup. And here's what scares me. There are Christian people who think that just because they're saying Christian phrases and acting moderately Christian, that they might not end up doing something they'll never regret. They'll never, ever stop regretting. Wow. Three times the Bible tells us he seduced them into idolatry and immorality. You think it matters being in the wrong place at the wrong time? You think Balaam intended to do that? Listen to me. He couldn't handle the pressure. And one of the worst things you'll ever do as a Christian is overestimate your resistance power. Now listen to me. The Bible teaches very clearly in principle that when we are tempted, we should pray for God to deliver us from the power of temptation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Lord delivered them out of them all. God is able to deliver the righteous from temptation. Aren't you glad that when you are tempted to sin, you can call upon God and God will give you the power to say no? But there's another biblical principle, and Jesus encouraged the disciples when he went to pray at Gethsemane. He didn't say, pray that you will not give into temptation. He said, pray lest ye be tempted. And there is more scripture, I would contend, that would teach us to pray to avoid the presence of temptation than there is to pray to avoid the power of temptation. The best thing you can do to not have to say no to temptation is to not position yourself to be tempted. Make no provision for the flesh. Listen, and this is deep. You might want to write it in your Bible, but I think you can handle it. Maybe you keep getting stuck because you keep going into sticky situations. If you don't want to cheat on your wife, stop getting around stuff that would set you up to lust. You don't want to lose your purity, stop dating alone. Come on. You don't want to tempt your pornography, put a block on your computer. If you don't want to keep missing your devotion, set an alarm clock and go to bed the night before. If your day keeps starting bad, start it with Jesus. If you can't get up, go to bed sooner. If you can't get up sooner, set an alarm clock. If you can't hear an alarm clock, ask your wife to pour water on you. I'm just simply saying, do whatever you have to do. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Too many Christians say they don't want to sin, but they refuse to roadblock the avenues to sin. Amen. If you're tired of the devil getting you into temptation, then cancel your demonic OnStar subscription. And some of it is bad friends. They are credible direction to sin. Amnon had a lust that he shouldn't have had. That was flesh. But he also had a cousin that was going to provide him with a credible avenue to fulfill his lust. You're going to lust because you're flesh. You're going to feel the lust of the flesh because you're flesh. But I'm telling you, the best thing when you feel the lust of the flesh is to get away from people who will show you a good way to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And for years, I'm quitting in a minute. I preach to young people that the biggest deterrent in teenagers' lives was bad music. Grown people too. I have amended that position over the last 5 or 6 years. And I'm convinced that the biggest deterrent with teenagers is not music, it's bad friends. Because they got into the bad music from the bad friends. Influence. And church people. Church people too. I heard a pastor say a long time ago, isn't it amazing when people get mad with the things of God and mad with the church, they never get mad alone? Get mad with their parents and never get mad alone? Thank God, God has blessed us that we haven't dealt with these big old church splits and these people. God, that hurts. But you know how church splits happen? A member gets mad and wants company. And they leave and they want people to go with them. And then sometimes years later, they get right with God. But here's what the preacher said the other night. I've learned that preachers will, that people will leave and take a bunch of members with them. They get right, but they never bring them all back.
Yes, sir.
You know what it tells me? It is much easier to affect people negatively than it is to affect people positively. Balaam was dead, and his sin was still being named in the New Testament. You get mad with the donkey if you want to. But I'm telling you, you will hurt people long after you're in heaven. Your generational curses and effect on your family will still be hurting your great-grandchildren, even though you're in heaven enjoying Jesus. I don't want to be that way. Listen to people that love you. Whoever's telling you the truth, whether it's a preacher or it's a puppy dog. Yeah. You might be getting up in the middle of the night trying to get a donut out the refrigerator, and the dog's, you mad at the dog. Dog done woke up your wife. Honey, what's wrong? You get back in the bed. You didn't eat the donut. Say, thank you, doggy. You know what I'm saying? Whatever God uses. You get a lost person cuss all the time. You cuss, and they say, aren't you saved? No, you cuss. They're trying to help you.
Yes, sir.
They don't want to do right, but they're not saved. You are. Yep. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Well, you cuss 10 times. I only cussed once. They're helping you. Come on. I'm determined in my life. I'm not going to keep getting mad with the donkey when I'm the one that got on him and led him the wrong way. Thank God that even when I'm so blind to my own mistakes, that God gives me people, things, and situations that see better than I do. Don't get mad with the donkey. Father, thank you. We all have to be, we got to be honest today. Yes, we are. And I pray you help us. And by the way, just because you decided to get right doesn't mean all your consequences go away when you were wrong. You can smoke 15 years, get right with God, and quit smoking. That doesn't mean your lungs get right. Consequences happen. You can't sow bad seeds and get mad when you grow bad weeds. Well, what do I do, Pastor? Well, you can't make the weeds not come. You can start sowing good seed, so eventually you start growing good fruit. And eventually it's going to catch up. Christians are already on the altar. Thank God for it. Pastor, God has spoken to me today. One thing I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. God bless you all over the building. I know that I'm saved. Let me put your hand down. Pastor, God spoke to me somewhere in the message and encouraged me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Yes. Yes. How about challenge me? Yeah. Yeah. Come to the altar. We got couples coming to the altar. Singles coming to the altar. People praying in their seat. Get up from your seat if you need to. And by the way, sometimes you need to get up and come to the altar. I'm just telling you, there's something psychological that happens in our heart sometime when we move. You pray wherever you need to pray, but sometime we need to get up. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'll not embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody? Let's stand together. Lord, would you take control of this invitation like only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen.